You're listening to Coffee with Innovate Finance, where we speak with experts from the industry on the changing face of financial services and the future of fintech and financial innovation. I am Rashi Pandey, Head of Membership and Growth, and I'm very pleased to welcome Mike Anderson, who's the Managing Director at Convex Foundation. So Convex Foundation provides next-generation decentralized platform for the Internet of Value with web-scale performance, flexibility, and energy efficiency. And we'll speak to Mike more about this. So thank you so much for joining us today, Mike.
Thank you very much. Delighted to join you.
So can you tell us more about your background and how did you start Convex? What was the original idea behind it?
Yeah, I guess I have quite an interesting background. So I started out as a self-taught coder. I was one of those people who got obsessed with coding at about the age of eight. Really loved using computers to solve problems. And, you know, it's always been a big passion of mine. But I didn't really go into technology until much later. I actually went into economics and consulting. I was in strategy consulting for many years. Because I always had this theory that in order to actually use technology well to make the world a better place, you had to like understand the economies and the people and the lives it would affect and how is it actually going to play out to make a difference in the world. So I spent a lot of time working with banks, with governments, a lot of the large multinational corporations in the consulting world, and really seeing you know, how different aspects of the global economy operate. Ultimately decided consulting wasn't going to be my life. I prefer actually building technology to writing PowerPoint slides, but found my way through a number of different CTO roles into the crypto space, where I was CTO at Ocean Protocol. And there, I guess, it sort of became clear that this decentralized technology was going to be a game changer in global economies in the future. And I'm not saying right now, but this is like the new phase of the internet. This is like the 90s and the early dot-com days, where we're starting to see these new ideas emerging, which will be revolutionary over the next 10 to 15 years. And because of this huge potential to actually do great things and from building better economic systems in particular, there is a need for better technology to actually enable make that scalable. So I got into building Convex really because I saw a strong need for a new kind of decentralized platform to really enable people to build better, scalable, decentralized economic systems.
So that was the original idea behind Convex then?
Exactly, yeah. But it was about going back to first principles and looking at what was really needed in the decentralized technology space. If you actually really wanted to get fast, interactive transactions so that people could actually usable for people in their everyday lives, and you obviously need the economics and the scalability to be good enough that it can actually run at global scale. And it also needs to be architecturally robust and simple so that developers and entrepreneurs can actually build new kinds of products and services on top of this platform. So it really did take going almost back to basics and really thinking from the ground up what it would take to build a good platform that has all of these kind of properties that we wanted to see.
Okay. So when you say that, you know, that you are the next generation decentralized platform for the Internet of Value, what do you mean when you say Internet of Value?
That's a great question. I see it as a sort of the next evolution of the Internet. So the original Internet started as this fantastic project where people could communicate on a peer-to-peer basis, where everyone could be a participant in this amazing global network and share information. But the internet, as it was originally conceived, was more a communication channel between different nodes of the network. And any data, any information, any services that you wanted to run sort of have to sit behind these nodes of the internet. Someone's running them at some, maybe it's some data center, maybe it's in some office building, maybe it's a device in your home. But the internet itself was just a communication. Now, the Internet of Value is really about saying, well, the internet can actually be more than that. The internet can actually be a network that stores assets and information that people want to interact with and they want to exchange, and they perhaps want to put into action in the economy, for example, for using smart contracts. So the internet of value is really taking the original internet and the ideas that made the internet great, but applying to this new paradigm of having decentralized assets and information managed by a global decentralized network.
That's very, very helpful. So I like how you're saying that the internet is evolving, and then now we have Web3 and, you know, everything else that's coming up around it as well. So what is Convex Foundation vision, and what's your mission, and what problems are you really trying to solve?
So I think the problem that we're really trying to solve is we want the benefits of decentralized technology to be widely adopted. We want to see everyone in the world being able to take advantage of decentralized finance, of being able to do peer-to-peer economic transactions, of being able to participate fully in economic life, and to be able to make use of innovative products that take advantage of this kind of technology. So our mission is really to make it possible for people to build the kind of decentralized products that can achieve mass adoption. And this is a real problem right now, because if you look at the decentralized space, if you look at blockchain, the adoption is in a very, very narrow niche of users, often people who are, for example, crypto traders, or people who are very heavily into certain kinds of yield farming. So the adoption is a very, very narrow segment of the population, which is nowhere near yet getting to mainstream adoption. So the problem we're trying to solve is, how do you build a technology substrate that enables that mass adoption to happen, and therefore for the benefits of decentralized technology to reach everyone in the world, you know, including people who maybe haven't been well served by traditional banking systems?
Sure. And like you said, the fact that, you know, decentralized technology, and I can say that from experience as well. Let me say, you know, companies working within finance, as soon as you say decentralized, people have their hands up. And, you know, usually people are a little more wary of the technology. So I'm sure you must have faced some challenges when you were trying to get within the space as well. So what are the challenges you faced when Convex started, and what are the challenges now? Have they evolved as people's, you know, understanding of decentralized technology has, you know, improved?
And I think that's a very tough question, because some people understand the space, you know, pretty well. But I think in general, the level of understanding is still quite limited. And I think one of the key reasons for that is there is a very big paradigm shift. So whereas before, you would typically always be doing your transactions, particularly the financial world, through some sort of centralized service provider, you know, a bank, a broker, some trusted financial institutions. The decentralized world is sort of turning that on its head and say, in fact, you can be your own bank. You can be the custodian of your own assets. You can transact directly with others without intermediaries, without the need for these traditional financial business models. Now, that is a massive change for many people. It completely changes the way that you think about financial products. It may be a threat to some who see their business model potentially being disintermediated. But it also puts a lot of extra responsibilities on the user. If you're going to be your own bank, you need to manage your own security, your own keys, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you haven't got someone else to blame, or the insurance perhaps that you might have had with some of the more traditional setups. And that means that it's not for everyone. You know, there's going to be, I think, a lot of evolution in how people think about these different products and how they fit together. But it's certainly different. And that paradigm shift, I think, makes it a bit harder for people to get their heads around and to sort of get up to speed with what the possibilities are. But there are many cases where you do want those capabilities. And, you know, to give an example, smart contracts. Smart contracts enable instantaneous atomic settlement, and they automatically enforce the rules of the contract. So, you know, assuming you've set it up correctly, nothing's going to go wrong. You know exactly what's going to happen, when and how, and who's going to have the access rights to, interact with that contract at different times. And it's entirely predictable, deterministic, and reliable, far more than, you know, traditional financial systems, where all kinds of things can go wrong at many different stages, and there's a lot of risk often involved. So smart contracts have the potential to be much faster, much cheaper, and much more secure than traditional ways of doing things. But it is a very different way of thinking about a transaction. It's a very different way of thinking about how you interact with digital assets.
Fair enough. And how does what you do differentiate from other firms and, you know, other decentralized platforms?
Well, I might get into technical details a bit, so forgive me.
Yes, please do.
One of the things that differentiates us significantly is we are not a blockchain, in fact. So a lot of the earlier technology in this space, blockchain technology, worked by basically building a link of blocks where each block contains a hash, which is a pointer to a previous block. Now, Convex has found a different way to solve the problem of putting transactions in an order. So rather than building a blockchain, we have a new kind of consensus algorithm based on convergent algorithms, particularly conflict-free replicated data types, which are some very clever algorithms and data structures with a strong pedigree in computer science. And we found a way to basically use those algorithms and approaches to get to consensus much faster. Now, of course, the reason you need to get to consensus is you need to make sure that all the transactions are put in a stable ordering, because that's how you solve the double spend problem and the security risks that come with people being able to alter the transaction history, which you certainly don't want. So we solve a similar problem to blockchain, but we do it in a very different way. And the big advantage to that, of course, is that we can do it pretty much in real time. It's sub-second to confirm transactions in this kind of network, whereas traditional blockchain networks, you're looking at pretty long time delays often to get a final confirmation of whether your transaction has succeeded or not. And it's also super energy efficient, so we don't waste any energy running the algorithm. There's no proof of work. There's no wasted resources to make the algorithm operate. So it's, from an energy efficiency perspective, it's probably the most efficient way of transacting decentralized or centralized.
So when you said it's energy efficient, I mean, that is something which people just do not associate with blockchain, right? So can you clarify that for our listeners? How do you ensure that it's energy efficient?
So some blockchains are much better than others. I mean, recently, proof of stake blockchains have become more popular, and these are certainly more energy efficient than some of the older ones. The big problem is with the proof of work blockchains that are essentially burning energy in order to achieve consensus. And this is just incredibly wasteful. I mean, you've got Bitcoin using more energy than many small countries on its own. And not to give a particularly powerful network. You're talking about a network that can really only handle a few transactions per second.
Sure.
So the wastage is just enormous from an energy cost, but also from a transaction cost perspective. How much it actually costs for someone to send a transaction through one of these networks at the base layer is extremely expensive. So, I mean, we came to the view that that was unacceptable. You couldn't expect users to pay, $10, $20 transaction fees every time they want to interact with a decentralized network. And you also couldn't justify the environmental damage being caused by just the energy wastage, which is involved. So I think the better decentralized networks are solving this problem. I think our solution is very powerful because you waste effectively zero electricity. All you need is some regular servers connected to the internet running the consensus algorithm with very little extra waste or any extra special hardware required. So the overall efficiency of the network is equivalent to a medium-sized website.
Okay. That's very helpful to know, actually. That's quite nice to hear, let me put it that way. So with regards to your platform, do you have any success stories and some partnerships or use cases that you can share with us?
Well, we do have a number of fascinating use cases we're working on. I would say that we're still pre-launch. So our main network is not yet live. We've been in testnet for over a year, and it's been very solid and very, very stable platform. But we have to get this right. So I give the caveat that the mainnet is not going to be out for probably until late next year. But we are working on some very interesting use cases. We have a use case in the healthcare space where we're using Convex as a substrate for secure sharing of healthcare information. We have some very interesting experiments going on in the payments space. And we also have some very interesting partnerships and prototypes in the gaming and metaverse space. So looking at the sort of virtual worlds that might exist, where the actual items and assets in those worlds are managed on a decentralized network. So I can't say too much about them yet, but they're very exciting projects and, you know, very much looking forward to being able to reveal them soon.
That's quite cool that you're covering, you know, the metaverse to healthcare to payments. So we're pretty excited to, you know, hear more once you are able to tell us more about it.
And I would say it's not necessarily all us. Yeah, a very important point of this kind of network is, as the Convex Foundation, we provide a substrate and the tools for people to build. But that doesn't mean we're going to build all the products or all the great innovations or all the ideas on top of the network. You know, it is an open ecosystem. It's open technology. Anyone can come right now and, you know, start prototyping, start building, get involved, and, you know, create something completely new that, you know, we certainly may not have thought of, and that could be a great success in its own right. So I see it more as the foundation being almost the servant of the ecosystem, rather than us coming up with some secret lineup of products to be announced, if you like. It's a much more open kind of model.
You guys are providing innovators the tools that they need, right, to build innovative products and solutions. So
that's right. We've succeeded, right? If we make it easy for them.
That's amazing. So, of course, you know, when we talk about decentralized, especially in the world of finance, we cannot not talk about regulation. So what are some of the challenges you see in the regulation of, you know, the DeFi space?
I think there's a couple of things that I'd highlight as being particularly important. One is, because it is a new space, because the regulations are still quite immature, there is a lot of risk. And I think consumer protection must be paramount. You know, there's a lot of need for regulation and protections that really make sure that consumers don't fall prey to scams. And there are a lot of scams and there are a lot of security risks in this space. And I think the regulators need to be very aware of that and, you know, be very proactive about, you know, protecting customers, because it is a place where people will get taken advantage of if they're not careful. The other thing I think I'd say is regulators need to be very careful not to put big barriers up that prevent innovation. You know, particularly as, again, as there's innovations happening all the time, new technology, new protocols. The last thing you want to do is stop innovation happening in terms of the products and the services that might exist. So I think the regulators need to find this very careful balance between allowing quite a lot of freedom on the protocol and the innovation side, but also putting in place robust protection for consumers, particularly when the consumers are going to be putting their assets and you know, their financial resources at risk through some of these services. It really does need solid protection, as we've seen in some of the recent developments.
No, of course, protecting consumers, I would say, is one of the biggest priorities, isn't it? So if you had to, you know, bust a couple of myths on decentralized finance, or just, you know, the industry in general, what would they be?
I don't know if it's so much a myth, but I do think that people really need to think, when they look at these kind of technologies, what is it going to do in the real world? You have to look at what is the way that this is going to make a difference in our economies, in people's lives, and what is the actual value creation at the end of the chain for the end user. And if you can't see that clear link, it may be a little bit of a speculative asset, and, you know, ultimately all of these things need to serve the interests of our societies and our economies. So I think a lot of the crypto space has been driven by speculation and not enough focus on actually solving real problems and getting those solutions in the hands of users. So I don't know if it's a myth, but I think that's something I would like to see improve about the industry and how it approaches problems, and particularly how it approaches, you know, valuing tokens and these kind of things.
No, thank you very much. And Mike, before I let you go, in closing, can you tell us a little more about, you know, what's next for Convex, your launch, any other exciting news we should look out for?
So all I would say is just, if it's something that interests you, come along and get involved. There's stuff happening all the time. We're forging new partnerships. We're prototyping things. We're developing some very, very interesting technology. So anyone who likes to get their hands dirty with algorithms and APIs is very welcome. It is an open community. We have a public Discord channel that anyone can join and join and chat. And all of our code is open source, so people can actually contribute. And you know, we do award coins to people who make contributions to the code or the community. So just an invitation, really, for everyone to get involved and help make this a great open ecosystem.
I love that. To make, you know, it's an open community, guys. You heard that. Thank you so much, Mike. It's lovely to see the enthusiasm you have with regards to not only Convex, but just about technology in general. So thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yes, amazing. And more power to you and to the team at Convex. And thank you to all our audience for tuning into Coffee with Innovate Finance once again. Please do look out for upcoming episodes and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more on our events and programs. And if you also want to find out more about Convex Foundation. As always, until next time, take very good care of yourselves.